Hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. It got down in the, what, is it 70s today down here in Florida?
In the 50s.
Oh. 50s?
Yeah, you know where that introduction came from for our show? Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest health news and world research. I wrote all that for Joyce Riley.
Yeah.
When I was co-hosting her show or sub-hosting her show back, 10, 15 years ago.
Do we utilize it on ours?
Well, I wrote it.
So
it was my thing that I said to introduce her show. And that was interesting. A lot of you have started listening to my broadcast and me being on podcast when I was on with Joyce. And, Joyce had an interesting background. I'm not going to go into detail on it. A lot of people really liked her. A lot of people really didn't like her. But she was always nice to me, but I always enjoyed her. By the way, I discovered something the other day, and I wanted to share this with you because I've had a lot of emails about this. I ended up with that cough, a few weeks ago, and it was the pits. I took the oregano oil, I took the black seed oil, and I started taking astragalus there, right, last week. And when I started taking the astragalus, it knocked the cough out and knocked everything out of me within like 24 to 48 hours. Now, you're thinking, well, are you saying that I'll take care of my cough? I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any claims here. I'm telling you what I did, and it worked. And then I just found out from Austin, my co-host, he started taking the astragalus immediately when he got sick, and I didn't know he had done that. And so because you have to be careful. If you have a fever, you're not supposed to take it.
It will heat you up.
Because it'll get you good.
It's kind of odd. You'll notice it. So don't freak out if you take it one day. You take like four capsules of it at once, you will feel your body temperature.
Well, and plus, don't get in a hot tub or a spa or a sauna or steam room if you're taking it.
If you're going to be doing a sauna or steam room switch as far as when you're sick, which can be really helpful sometimes. I've done it as well. Just make sure you're holding off on that stuff.
But I couldn't shake it. I was doing the black seed oil, which
I thought
great.
You'd been taking it. I took it from the beginning.
Well, no, because what happens with astragalus, you've got to be real careful with your prostate. When you're younger, like Austin, in your 30s, it doesn't really affect you like that. But it can if you're over the age of 40 or 50.
And this product, let me clarify, this is not a daily supplement.
No, this is not this all the time. Strong adaptogenic herb that really helps to boost the immune system.
It is.
And so what I do whenever I take, if I take two astragalus, I take two of our prostate support with it.
Yeah, or four and four, whatever you're going to do.
Or if I take four, so what I did the first night, and I'm not advising this, I was taking the black seed oil. I was already taking the oregano oil, and I finally had enough of it after being choking for 2 weeks on the show, and I took 10 astragalus.
Woo!
That's a low.
This is not something I'm recommending
either.
Dosage.
Okay, and I took 10 prostate support, and I tell you, I woke up the next morning and my cough was 90% gone.
Really,
the first day. And then I took 10 again, ten more prostate support, and then I dropped to the 5, which is more of a reasonable dose.
You guys ever wonder how we come up with these kits and specials, or not specials, these products we put together here? We kind of experiment sometimes.
On ourselves.
Guinea pig status.
Anecdotal research.
And it works sometimes. Other times? Actually, it works most of the time with the high dose, honestly.
But it really, really works well. But now, if you got kidney issues, et cetera,
and
make sure you check with your nephrologist before you try it.
A lot of water on astragalus.
Oh, yeah.
You got to keep your kidneys flushed out with everything.
Well, I'm down to 5 a day now, and my cough is gone.
Yeah.
No,
you sound a lot better.
Well, watch me start coughing now. I said my cough was going to be perfect on the show. There he's coughing again. But I haven't coughed all morning.
And also, too, updated, guys, make sure I got a lot of email updates over the weekend as far as when people sign up. Make sure you sign up for the updates. I tell everybody here different specials and new kits. You'll be the first to find out. Put your name, your email, the Brower Show, and the Health Masters email list. That's what I would subscribe to. Make sure you're subscribing to this to get updates every single day. We just sent an email out last week discussing also, too, the option we have for express shipping in detail. And what it does is giving you VIP priority
That's a
status.
Great deal. Usually our costs are over that. It's like $19.95, but most of the time our costs are more than that. We're just doing it to basically combat the ineffectiveness of the post office.
Well, and I'm doing it to give everybody the best solution set.
That's right.
To get your product as quick as possible. Because I understand. So please, if you're calling me or emailing me, I hear you. I know. I've talked to everybody. The priority mail service has gotten very, very, very inefficient.
Sloppy.
And it's sloppy. I had a buddy I just talked to. He called me up just this morning. He ordered a bunch of product out of California, and it's been in Texas for 5 days. text for 5 days.
And we sent a priority mail.
Yeah. And so then this is other stuff. So, again, we're getting stuff out to you, but the express shipping, you know, people are always talking about Amazon Prime, which I don't promote Amazon. I don't like them. But it's almost like $200, $180 for Amazon Prime. That free shipping that you're getting Prime, it's not free shipping. You're paying for it through the Prime status.
Well, and if you order 6 or 8 times a year, it's still going to be less than Amazon
exactly.
Prime.
So, again, that option's open. I send the email out on it. So if you need anything, be sure to check it out. And the product of the week, you voted in it. One, the Fit Food Protein, one of my favorite formulas we have as far as a shake, the New Zealand Whey. We're actually just talking about New Zealand earlier. Well, we went down there
a long time ago. Oh,
but it's a really beautiful country.
I got to tell my story.
Yeah. No.
I got to tell my story.
No, not about
you getting kicked off the ship. I want to tell you the other story.
Okay, tell me the other story.
No, it was so funny. We were in Australia, and we were basically on a cruise ship, right? And, you know, Sharon and I and Austin used to do a lot of cruising when he was young. And that's before we discovered, you know, the Marriott hotel chains and all the rest of it and how much easier it is sometimes just get hotels. And we were basically on this ship, and we were in Australia. Oh, I want to tell the story so bad.
Come on, man. It's Monday. Don't do
that.
He
was on the phone with his girl. With his girlfriend, Lindsay. And they call me from the front desk, and they say, Dr. Brower, please report with your identification, to the gangway to get off the ship.
I had a passport, and I had some money in my pocket, and I was getting off that ship and running around New Zealand and exploring for a while.
I think that was it Australia or New Zealand?
No, it was New Zealand. 100% it was New Zealand.
Are you sure?
It was in Auckland, I think, yes.
Oh.
I remember very well.
And I remember they told me to get off the ship that Austin wasn't on board. I said he was like 14 years old. I said, whoa, you guys let him off. I didn't let him off.
Oh, I scanned my passport, and I was gone.
Oh, then all of a sudden, here comes a little bus with Austin in it, and the ship was pulling away from the dock. And I was getting kicked off, and I'm like, "This is perfect," and so I told him. I didn't yell at him though. I just told him. I said, "Go to your room."
Wait, what relevancy is this? I'm trying to talk about New Zealand and our whey protein. Why are you throwing me under the bus this morning, dude?
Okay, let me tell you the story. I was going to tell you the story.
Yeah, there you go.
There's another story. So we leave New Zealand. So we have this like a 3 day passage from Australia to New Zealand. It's a long time on a boat, right? And so Austin and I bought this huge box kite.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this thing was
I bought that in Australia.
It was like 6 feet.
We had this topic. I was like, "Has you ever seen anybody fly a kite off of a cruise ship?" He's like, "No, I haven't." And I'm like, "Me neither." It'd be kind of cool.
So we bought this 6 feet.
Yeah, I went to this toy store they had in Australia. And I said, "I want the biggest like professional grade kite you can get. I'm buying this. I want to do this." So we buy it. Obviously, it comes like a roll of line. No. I'm not doing a little roll of line.
You got like 5,000 feet.
A full secondary mile of line. And I was like, "Yeah, this is going to be it now." And we did.
So we got on the back of the ship between New Zealand and Australia, and we launched that sucker at 20 knots because, you know, it's 20 knots.
It went up smooth.
I mean, it just took off. And then we couldn't just let out 100 feet of line.
No.
We let out the whole mile.
We put a stick through the spool. And I'm telling you, we were taking turns running it. So I mean, it's just, and I'm like, "Did we lose it?" He's like, "No, the line's still tight." I'm like, "I can't see it anymore."
So funny. No, listen to this. So we're sitting there, and now we get it to the end of the line. We tied it off.
Yeah, we tied it off to the railing.
Because we tried to pull it back in, but that 20-knot wind.
Oh,
from
gosh.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't pull it down. And finally, the guy, like the second guy in charge on the ship, comes down and goes,
"Running back there.
What are you guys doing? We see something on our radar." We're like, "Oh, my gosh, we're busted." And Austin goes, "Well, we set the kite up." He goes, "We have all kinds of international maritime laws that we cannot litter at sea. We need to bring this kite in." I said, "We tried."
Yeah. So I said, "This thing's a mile up. Do you know the Air Force tension on this right now?
I said, "We just hope the straighten doesn't break. It's like 200-pound test." And the guy looked at me and goes, "We don't know what to do. We've tied it off." He said, "If you slow the ship down, we can get it in." "We're on a schedule. We can't slow the ship down." And I said, so we handed him the reel, and we said, "It's on you guys. We don't know what to do." And sure enough, they had somebody go back there and reel that kite in.
They gave it back to us.
I would have so put that thing through the incinerator.
They had it behind the desk. They saved it. They put it behind the desk. And I mean, now remember, this spool is no longer spooled up.
It's a
giant ball of knot of them trying to do it. I was like, I almost felt bad. And I was like, but no, that was worth it. That was so worth it, even though they got really mad. I'm surprised we didn't get banned again.
I remember that was so fun. Okay, well, at that point, we've wasted 10 minutes
New
talking
Zealand,
about that.
This is interesting. The fat scam of industrial ice cream. I don't know how much you guys like ice cream on a rare occasion if it's organic. Interestingly enough, New Zealand consumes more ice cream than the United States does. Only country in the world that consumes more ice cream than us. I thought
because they're bored. All they got are reindeer and sheep.
You better all those doggone, what were they? The Tasmanian devils.
Oh, me and nasty little
They were
animals.
Dead, though. They hit them like deer over there.
Yeah, they're like deer. You remember you were on the ship with the wind blowing so hard, you're about to go airborne?
Anyways, we each average 20 pounds of ice cream per person annually over there. The reason why I want to bring this up is be very cautious about the food, the ingredients in an ice cream. If you're going to eat ice cream, make sure you're getting clean ice cream. Don't get stuff A, with high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup in it. That is really, really crucial.
You know, Breyers has ruined their ice cream.
I won't eat Breyers anymore.
No,
it's full
of this garbage.
Yeah, the carrageenan, and also that's one that's in a lot of stuff. Small amounts aren't bad. The polysorbate 80, though, is a really bad one for you. And the monodiglycerides, those two are very common, and those are underlooked. Gargum, that's in a few different things. That's not that big of a deal. A lot of that's naturally derived. But the high fructose corn syrup is the main one they talk about here that you need to stay away from, the monodiglycerides and the polysorbate 80 and the propylene glycol.
Yeah.
That's antifreeze, by the way. And that is to keep ice cream soft and spoonable. That is in ice cream. You always know this.
Why are you eating antifreeze?
Well, no, awful. This is how you can always tell. You eat ice cream, right? If you've had it before, and you don't eat all of it, you leave it in a bowl, and you go back to the kitchen like 30 minutes later.
Had melted.
It hasn't melted. It's like it turns like almost like a fluff, and you're like, well, it hasn't not melted. Good ice cream, you leave it out for 5 or 10 minutes, it's milk. It's a bowl of milk. That's all you're going to get. So be very cautious of that. Check the ingredients on this stuff, and make sure you're getting clean ice cream if you're going to do it. I brought that up because the story in New Zealand. However, this is a story I really wanted to get to today. Why dietary cholesterol is not the enemy. New study comes out saying how cholesterol itself is not the problem. The problem arises when LDL becomes oxidized, and a lot of this is because of what happens with people's diet and production of cholesterol in the liver. A lot of people don't understand this, is that the liver is the main component in the body that actually helps with as far as cholesterol. If you have a cholesterol problem, it typically involves either the rate of which the liver produces cholesterol or the rate to which it's removed cholesterol from the bloodstream. Main root causes of bad cholesterol and ways to fix it, reduce inflammation in the body. Omega-3 fats are crucial for this, eliminating inflammation, promoting foods like refined sugar, trans fats, ultra-processed food. It says high inflammation levels prompt the liver to release more LDL to damaged tissues. This is why the liver support and the GHI cleanse have such amazing benefits. This is why when people take the GHI cleanse and they detoxify their liver, they start having all types of other health benefits that come along with it. I've talked about it in detail. With the liver's plugged up, if the liver's toxic, if the liver's not producing cholesterol properly, it's going to have systemic effects all across the body. Another thing right here, ironically, I talk about all the time, enhancing liver function. You can't make it up. The milk thistle, curcumin, which is turmeric, and an acetylcysteine. Top three ingredients of my GHI cleanse right there.
Well, the GHI cleanse is an incredible product.
Yes.
It's probably one of our best products, honestly. I literally use it every day. Well, 6 days a week, I have my shake.
I use it quite a bit, yeah. And it says keep cholesterol in check by staying active. This, again, helps cholesterol levels by exercising regularly to improve liver fat metabolism and increase HDLs. Stay hydrated to support bile production and cholesterol excretion. Manage stress, lower cortisol. Cortisol buster is good for that. Avoid smoking to reduce oxidative stress and alcohol. Those two are key factors. Everybody knows that. Be mindful of genetic factors and maintain physical activity. It's funny, it says, rather than eliminating eggs at all, adopt a balanced approach to eating. It's crazy because you see so many times now these studies try to come out and tell you how bad eggs are. Eggs do this and eggs do that. It said in one case study, an 88-year-old man ate 25 eggs a day, which is average about 4,500 milligrams of cholesterol, yet maintain almost perfect blood cholesterol levels with no significant atherosclerosis plaquing at all.
Well, you know,
25 eggs a day.
Oh, by the way, I have another article that if I have time, we'll read it today. And it's talking about one of the main reasons that we're having such an egg shortage now is demand. That more and more people are eating normal eggs like we've been promoting.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, and for us. One doctor says here he's been eating 56 eggs a week, which was about 8 eggs a day.
I've done that many days, 4 in the morning and 4 at night.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty close to that right now. I probably eat over 40 anyhow. I've cut back a little bit because you can't get the organic ones right now. But, you know, the crazy part about it is that the more eggs I eat, the healthier I get, the better my cholesterol and blood chemistry looks. And this one guy was basically saying, a doctor reveals an intriguing reason why he eats 56 eggs a week, 8 eggs a day, and how healthy he is from it. He's all cut up. He's all lean. He looks good.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing with the eggs, saying eggs were bad, were done with powdered eggs back in the 50s. No experiment has
ever
been done.
Paid for by cereal companies.
Yes. No experiment has ever been done using real eggs cooked in real butter, elevating cholesterol, period.
Ever.
You'll never see the study. They always use, you know, the powder stuff, which is unbelievably toxic for you. But, you know, the liver is really, really, really important. I got another story.
Yeah.
It's not a good story. It's a sad story. But it's still a story. But it's a real story. I interviewed this lady. I can't say I went on a date with her. I interviewed her. She's a friend. And she was dating this guy who was a lot younger than her. He's like 45 and she was like 57.
Okay.
And she ended up basically, he started having liver problems and he was drinking.
Oh boy.
Okay. And he had a real problem with alcohol in his liver. And that's really tough on the liver.
Oh yeah.
So hitting the alcohol really, really hard. And it was a strange story because the guy was kind of he was a liar.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be blunt. He had told her that he had been married and that his wife had died during childbirth and the baby died and she died and none of it was true.
It's all made up.
All made up.
That's horrible.
No, this dating thing is like a nightmare. And she basically married him. And she ended up, she was at his death's bedside when he was 45 years old when he died of liver failure.
45.
Yep. And, you know, and you think, well, this doesn't happen to people that are. Yeah, it does. This
wow.
When you abuse your body and you don't keep your liver clean, like with the N-acetylcysteine and, you know, and the milk thistle and all the other things we have in GHI cleanse, you're going to really, really, you know, find out quick that the liver can then be damaged to a point of no return.
Well, and let me add that. And this is why I try to talk to so many people about the detox formula and stuff like that. If you have had a problem with alcoholism when you're younger,
make sure you take this.
And you get off the alcohol and you clean your liver out, you can help rebuild your liver and get healthy again with proper supplementation.
Well, the liver is the only organ that will regrow itself.
So, but the thing is, you can't keep doing it to it, and you especially can't keep taxing the liver and not giving it any supplements at all. That's why we put together
that detox kit.
For Christmas times, I knew a lot of people were going to be running around, going places. The N-acetylcysteine, the milk thistle, liver support is a great form to stay on regularly to keep the liver cleaned out. But, yeah, that's great. And this is another cool, interesting story right here about cholesterol. So I'm on a cholesterol kick today. It says cholesterol, according to a new research study, can boost your body's cancer-fighting abilities. They discover cholesterol's critical role in enhancing immune cells and the ability to detect and find cancer. This is a recent study from Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York revealed that cholesterol plays a crucial role in the dendritic cells, the immune cells that help the body recognize and fight cancer. So they have another study here showing, how ironic is this, the higher your HDLs are and the better your overall cholesterol is, the less your chance of cancer.
You know, it's so funny. About 10 years ago,
yeah,
we were on our show and I started talking about this, and I told you guys that the lower your cholesterol goes,
yep,
the higher the rates of cancer and all disease rates. And when you get really low with cholesterol, you have a much, much higher incidence of cancer. And now they're doing studies that are saying that, you know.
Look at this. This shows that cholesterol
helps right.
Small cholesterol-rich structures on the surface of dendritic cells. All cells in the body contain cholesterol for proper function. The cholesterol can be attained through diet or the body may make its own cholesterol, as we just talked about earlier with the eggs.
I want to read this. The dendritic cells use cholesterol from both neighboring, often dead or dying cells and their own production to build structures that strengthen the immune response. We show that mobilization of newly acquired and synthesized cholesterol that is then trafficked in and organized into lipid nanodomains on the plasma membrane is essential for CDC maturation, authors write, which simply put, cholesterol creates communication hubs and ensures dendritic cells grow properly and support a stronger immune response to cancer, particularly lung cancer, the authors noted. I told you guys, lower your cholesterol goes, the higher your rate of cancer. I try to keep mine over 200. And it's difficult to do that and eat clean.
I know, especially to eat really clean. It really is. It says right here, it's the best ways. Again, I just talked about focus on avocado oil, olive oil, good fish, like basically wild-caught salmon. And it says exercise regularly. That's a really important one, guys. I talk about it all the time. But maintaining healthy cholesterol supports cardiovascular health.
Avoid trans fats.
Yeah.
You know, I was squawking about that 40 years ago, Austin, and nobody wanted to listen.
No, look at it now.
Now it is. Everybody said, don't do trans fats. Don't do trans fats.
This is why I have said repeatedly, and so is Dad, be so cautious if a doctor wants to put you on statin drugs.
Just do
your research before you go on that
stuff. If you read the book, the last book that I put out with Sharon, Breakthrough Health, we list the top 10 drugs to avoid. And the number one drug not to eat, not to use, not to put, not to ingest, not to do anything with are statin drugs. They're that bad.
The only reason that the statin drugs were even ever produced at the beginning phase was, first off, is if people were unbelievably morbidly obese and they had dangerously high cholesterol levels, like they're in like the 400-500 range. And having all types of cardiovascular problems. And
it's supposed to be for temporary use.
Temporary use to get the cholesterol back down into a halfway healthy range while they get their body fat and body weight under control. That's what statins were originally tested for. They never did long-term research testing on statins to see what's going to happen after 5 years of taking.
Well, they've done it now.
No, they have now.
And after like 37 years, you live an extra three days. And I don't believe that. I think you're going to die of some other disease before that.
That's not even a relevant amount. You know what I mean?
Number one, your testosterone goes through the floor. You can no longer have relations with your wife in many cases if your cholesterol gets too low. Your brain chemistry goes to crap. You can't think and you walk around in a fuzz all the time. You end up with basically skeletal muscle necrosis, which means your skeletal muscle starts to die, and then it rots. And when it rots, it gets into the bloodstream. When it gets into the bloodstream, it messes up your kidneys. It causes kidney failure. This is why we have kidney clinics everywhere because of statin drugs, because they're destroying the doggone kidneys. And so all of this stuff is happening as we speak in the United States of America. And now at least Kennedy's come in now and has fired a crap load of people from the CDC.
I saw that. I'll cover that here in a second.
Because, I mean, I am so excited this guy's, you know, he got his HHS nomination. And I hope and I pray that Trump lets him just go, you know, and you say in German, you let him go ganz wild. Which means just go crazy wild and just get it done and fix this mess. And now he's talking about chemtrails, Austin.
I know. I told you guys, I the thing that I had a positive feeling about him, regardless of his past statements or what certain people agreed with as far as with abortion with him, I was like, listen, he's put his entire reputation on the line now with what he's talked about with dietary problems.
And I told you guys that I didn't think that they'd approve him. And I told you that if they did approve him, then I'd tell you I was wrong. I was wrong. He got approved. And I'm so excited about this because if you read, we read a lot of his stuff every single week. And if he continues to promote health the way he's promoting health now, including removing fluoride from the water supply, it's going to be pretty impressive. It really is, Austin.
No, it is. I mean, you got to think about it. There's already been numerous counties all across the country now.
Winter Haven.
Multiple in Florida that have removed fluoride based off the research that he presented, especially to Congress, when the EPA was coming in saying, we know fluoride's still good for everybody. You need to get your fluoride in the water. Here's the thing. If you really are so obsessed with having a neurotoxin put in your mouth, have them do it at the dentist. I don't recommend it. I will not do it. But use it on your teeth. Why in the world do you want to have it in your drinking water every single day, consuming it all day, every day?
Well, because
it makes no sense.
Well, it's rat poison. That's exactly it's hydrofluorosilicic acid. And what's interesting about it, you know, the first use of this stuff was found in the concentration camps in Dachau. And they found that the inmates were servile and infertile when they took fluoride, and it dropped their IQ scores. And they just shut up and went to work in the munitions factories and didn't try to fight. They couldn't get them to take the pills.
It takes a lot of your drive away.
They couldn't get them to take pills. They spit them out. So what they did, put in the water supply to make sure that they'd basically keep them servile and infertile. And then in 45, when we went into Dachau, we started putting fluoride in the water in 46 in the United States. And we've dropped IQ points precipitously since then because of this. And we're basically, you know, causing massive infertility problems all over. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. Let me just change the topic for a second. And this is we were dealing with Germany and concentration camps and all the rest. Germany is self-imploding. That's the best segue I can get out of that. Germany's energy policy have led to electricity costs that are four times higher than the U.S.
Jeez.
So if my utility bill is $400 a month here, it would be $1,600 a month. Now, what happens with that is it gets worse because then you start looking at factories like Porsche, and Mercedes.
That's true.
And Audi.
Production costs.
And Volkswagen. Now all of a sudden your production costs go through the roof. The country's industrial sector, especially the auto industry, is suffering the high energy costs and green regulations. Germany's military has been reduced to 180,000 soldiers. The country's fertility rate is dangerously low, and immigration policy led to a large foreign-born population. Germany's self-inflicted decline mirrors the Morgenthau Plan, which basically was implemented in Germany. It was deindustrialization, depopulation of post-World War II. I'm going to slow down. I've had three purple shakes. I'm starting to feel good again. Germany's self-inflicted decline mirrors the Morgenthau Plan's intended deindustrialization and depopulation of post-World War II Germany. Wow. Germany, for example, has been systematically shutting down its nuclear plants, trying to run only on solar and wind. It's also been shutting down its natural gas electrical generation plants, primarily because of what's happened with the gas being shut off from Russia. It's relying, believe it or not, on more oil and coal and wind. But the net result of all this deliberate turn to wind and solar at the expense of fossil fuels and nuclear is that it costs four times for the electricity. Germany is deindustrializing, and by that I mean it's losing 200,000 jobs in the auto industry due to these high energy prices and regulations. Its green mandates, especially their wretched electric vehicles, which everybody hates even there, they've revolutionized the car industry in a sense that they're not selling abroad as much as they did in the past. In addition to that, Germany is disarmed. They only have about 125 attack aircraft. That's nothing, by the way. They have a few armored vehicles, and their active military is down to 180,000 soldiers. They have 84 million people in the country, and the fertility rate is very close to 1.4. You have to have 2.2 in order to maintain the population. And they had Angela Merkel open up the borders, which has completely and destroyed it. Because Germany represents the powerhouse traditionally of the European economy and even culture, and starting to implode, the euro, the benchmark European financial health, is basically 1-to-1, even less than the euro sometimes. In other words, the euro used to be like 1.7.
Yeah.
Now it's down to about 0.96, 0.98. And when Joseph Goebbels heard about the Morgenthau Plan, he said what they wanted to do. He said, oh, my God, this is a gift. We're losing the war. We'll tell all the German people they want us to permanently be pastoral, which is basically be an agrarian society, so we won't all starve to death. And even if they don't like the Nazis, as we've destroyed the country, you're losing more, they'll fight. Thankfully, George Marshall, chief of staff of the Army, ex-President Hoover and others went to the Roosevelt administration and said, if you institute this plan and you destroy Germany and turn them into an agrarian society and destroy their industrial capability, they're going to fight to the death. And now that we've bombed Germany into rubble, so when we get to Germany, you'll see that most of it's been depopulated already. Yeah. And that's the truth. My mom told me, because she was there, I remember she said that her and Opa, my grandfather, would stand outside. They were at a little town near Hanover, and they would watch the planes fly over to Bremerhaven. And Grandpa said he'd never seen it like it before. He said the entire sky was black with B-17s.
Yeah.
And with fighter escorts. And because remember, Germany's Air Force, Luftwaffe, was gone.
Yep.
They had no ability to stop the fighters and the bombers coming in. And they bombed Germany into rubble. I remember I was on a date last year, and I was talking to this girl from Ukraine, asking her about what was going on in Ukraine. And she goes, well, I was asking her, well, why are you curious? I said, because I have a podcast. And then I said, I like to talk to people that were there. I said, I talked to my grandpa, my mom, about what happened in Bremerhaven in the B-17s, and they saw the planes. And she goes, well, that didn't happen. And I'm like, they were there. They saw it. But she had been so brainwashed from being in Russia that they didn't want to believe anything that they had read about World War II. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The date ended like 90 seconds later, by the way. It was like a 8-minute date. But the crazy part about it was that it wasn't a date. It was an interview. I didn't like the interview.
Done.
She didn't call them dates, call them interviews. And so what happened is that this is what they tried to do to Germany, and now Germany has basically implemented the Morgenthau Plan itself and has deindustrialized itself, and that's because they no longer control their own constitution.
That's second.
And the Rothschild banking empire, who controls the money supply in Germany and the world, except for just a few countries now, they loathe Germans.
Oh, they do. And they hate anybody that wants to maintain any level of freedom. That's what it all comes down to.
And so they have systematically destroyed Germany.
It's what's happened is now you've seen one of the reasons why. And I'm very curious how it's going to play out for Audi, for Porsche, for Volkswagen. Because if you've noticed now, all those manufacturers have started to pull out of the whole green energy deal.
Oh, yeah.
They're all coming back and saying we're not making. There's actually cars. I was reading the report the other day. I was talking about with Audi and Porsche that they're actually removing their plans to make certain vehicles all electric now. They're putting gas back in them again. They had plans by 2030 on certain models to be fully electric across their platform.
They're stopping it
all. They're stopping it now. They're saying there is no industry for this. It's not sustainable. And here's the
no infrastructure.
The infrastructure is the key factor. The other problem, too, that we finally have a long enough time scale on, we can actually do the research and look at the numbers on it. Everyone now has gotten the memo that electric vehicles have absolutely zero resale value. That's happened now. We have about 10 years of data. They came out in the teens, but about 2014, 2015 is when electric vehicles really
about
started
a couple
roll
of
out.
Years, about 20% of the retail price.
Yes. And so everybody.
If you could get that, if the dealer will even take it on trade.
Right. Some dealers won't even take them. There's been cars I've talked to guys for, they try to trade in Teslas, and the dealership's like, dude, we'll give you like 10 grand for it, 20 grand for it. And they're like, well, I just paid 90. Sticker was $90,000 on it last year. We're giving to literally like auction price or below auction price, because the time we actually take delivery of the vehicle, by the time we get it to the auction, it's already going to have depreciated even more. They don't want to touch them. And so that's the problem. And now the hybrid cars are now becoming an enormous issue of depreciation. I was looking at reports the other day on some of those hyper exotics. The one they were doing, there was a video they did, and I talked to one of the guys at the dealership the other day, that SF90 Ferrari. Super,
oh,
super
that's
expensive.
Right. It's like half price.
High-end supercar. I mean, it's like, it was like stickers, like $400,000 or $500,000.
It's almost 1,000 horsepower.
They were going up like $600,000 to $700,000. He said, now they're literally like half price. And I'm like, that's an expensive car. He goes, dude, it's getting cheaper. Dude, nobody knows where the floor is going to be on these. They just kept dry. Because what happens is the older the car continues to get, the less reliable it is and the more problems it has with the battery system and the less that battery can hold a charge. Well, by the time you hit about 4 to 5 years on these supercars, dude, where's the battery going to be at?
When we flew to Miami one time, we took the 210 down there, remember?
Yes.
And I remember we flew into, I think, the Fort Lauderdale International.
Was Opa-locka?
Opa-locka. I can't remember. Yeah. But I remember we looked at one of those doggone Lamborghinis that had come into that one dealership, and it was crazy expensive.
That was the Scion or something.
I mean, it was like a couple $1 million.
Yeah, it was nuts. The thing about those,
but it was a hybrid.
Yeah, it was a hybrid, but they only made like 60 of them worldwide.
Oh.
So it was one of those cars where it's like, you know, it's more of a collector piece. But any of these cars that they're doing these big hybrids on, they're actually mass producing them. I mean, see what the Prius is. I mean, the Prius has been the perfect example. And so, again, just something to be aware of with the infrastructure and these electric vehicles. Also, two other news, switching gears, this whole entire – it's like under the cover, low-key, this bird flu right now that they're still trying to produce. There's an article now coming out saying now they're starting to euthanize house cats after multiple have tested positive with bird flu linked to raw pet food raw chicken.
Whoa. They're euthanizing.
House cats now.
Well, now they got to tell you what, they got a bunch of hacked off cat owners.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to think about it too. I mean, it's like if you had a dog or a cat, they're a really good companion regardless. And also, they come in and say, well, your dog or your cat has bird flu now because they ate raw chicken.
Now we got to kill it.
Now we have to kill your animal now. So we're going to put them down like the rabbit.
There can't be very many of them.
There can't. No, it's only a couple cases. But yeah. Here's the $1 million question about this, though. Why is it that suddenly anything that attached to bird flu is suddenly this horrific event when you look at the fact of the first human case of bird flu identified in Wyoming? It's the third of its kind hospitalized in the U.S. There have been three people hospitalized.
300 million people.
Right. Well, then you start looking the research on it, and I did not know this. I pulled this article up here, and they went into detail and saying that between 2022 and 2024 – more than 147 million birds across 50 states have been slaughtered by mandates in the name of infectious disease control.
This is where our eggs have gone, bud.
A number of data points in recent weeks is truly concerning, not just about mass flu infections, but about the government's actions that are disrupting the food supply. He goes, let's walk through them. 3 days before the January 20th inauguration of President Donald Trump, the Department of Health and Human Services, right before Trump got in, 3 days, they announced a new grant to Moderna. You remember I talked to you about this, for mass production of RNA vaccine bird flus. They slated approximately $590 million to Moderna to accelerate the development of RNA-based pandemic influenza vaccines that enhances RNA platform capabilities so that the U.S. is better to respond to other emerging infectious diseases. What's interesting, those linked to the statement, is about how the HHS, again, directly involved in this stuff. At the same time, the CDC just crafted new guidelines to hunt down H5N1 among the animal production. This is crazy right here, guys. Listen to this for a second. This is where I was trying to get here. The date was January 16th, but the alert was not sent out until after the inauguration. The CDC website went to say it had been modified to comply with President Trump's his orders to basically mandatory shutdown of 80 chicken markets. This is in New York. Then they also had January 17th, the Department of Agriculture closed poultry auctions under the same rationale. They're shutting down chickens as far as all poultry production and all eggs in certain areas. They're done. They're wiping them out. I stopped by Publix last night to get some food, and again, whole entire section of chickens. The only thing at the bottom were the base eggs, the mass-produced chicken ones.
Well, you know what's interesting is they did the same thing with the automobile industry, which ran the prices to the roof. When you get the speculators involved, you give them control through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, or you put them in charge of the HHS, or you put them in charge of the CDC.
While you start shorting the market,
and
production.
Also, and somebody gets paid under the table to basically say, kill all these chickens.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, the people who have the chickens that are left, they could charge premium dollars for the doggone eggs. And suddenly, you know, we saw it in the used car market and the new car market with addendums added to them.
Oh, yeah.
Once you start messing with the free enterprise and basically free markets, you start causing all kinds of shortages. And when you cause the shortages, you always cause hyperinflation in the products that are left people's demand hasn't changed for eggs.
And you're right. You made that comment earlier, and I think you're spot on with that when you're talking about the fact that on top of that now, too, eggs have gotten so much positive feedback in the last couple months, the last year, that more and more people are starting to want to opt for them. And now it's kind of like the toilet paper is situation, right?
There was never a toilet paper shortage.
No, there was never a toilet paper production shortage. Granted, there is an egg shortage on this, but now people are going to the store, they're seeing the eggs gone. Well, now they want eggs, right? Now they see there's no eggs left. Now I want eggs because I can't have eggs. So now they're buying up eggs. And so at the same time, it's good. I guess people are starting to eat organic eggs. But it's bad at the same time. Now you're seeing the price of these staple items are so important.
First of all, the good news is laying hens come back pretty quick.
Yes.
And so if we start raising chickens again, we will start having eggs again.
Yeah.
And they won't all go out of business if that's what happens.
It's a pretty fast cycle with it. But I won't be surprised if Doge starts digging into the HHS and other platforms of the CDC and they start finding that there's been money allocated to go in and try to wipe a lot of these chickens out.
Oh, he's auditing the IRS now.
Oh boy.
Now they know how that feels.
Oh boy.
Oh, by the way, RFK Jr., I made this statement earlier, has basically made savage cuts to the CDC and his vaunted team of disease detectives.
I saw that.
On the first day as Trump's health chief. It says, it goes on. Robert Kennedy has slashed staffing at the Centers for Disease Control in his new role as health chief, expanding the purge of government departments conducted by President Trump and Elon Trump. The newly confirmed Secretary of Health.
Elon Trump.
Yeah. And Human Health Service for President Donald Trump fired nearly half of the team of disease detectives during his first day on the job, setting the scene for a slimmed down department moving forward. The entire incoming class of the epidemic Intelligence Service, EIS, I didn't know there was such a thing, were reportedly told they no longer were needed as part of a 1,300 staff layoff of the CDC.
I know. 5,200 probationary employees, namely the CDC and the NIH, are expected to be laid off. 5,200 employees that are coming in have been laid off, and there's still thousands and thousands and thousands. What do all these people do?
Nothing. They do nothing.
What do all these people do? That's the size of a small town.
They cannot justify their own existence. And they've got what they have to do, they have to find things to ban eggs to take off the market.
Exactly, right.
They've got to find something. Say, we had a problem because this can of tuna didn't open properly.
Okay.
No one's died. No one's got sick. No one's done anything. We're recalling 20 million cans
of
tuna.
If the seal is pulled up, it can cause the product to basically get botulism.
Well, why, if the seal's pulled up, why don't you just not eat it?
Or how about you just don't pull the seal up unless you're ready?
Yeah, I mean, so stupid.
This one right here, Quaker Oats just had to recall 10,000 boxes of Million Company pancake mix for milk allergy risk. It says on the ingredient list, milk. It says whey. It's got milk in the product. Everybody know pancakes and waffle mix has milk in it. Okay, let's be real. On the allergy list, they said that the box did not make a clear enough statement that it contained milk as a known allergen. So 10,000 boxes are required to either be repackaged or disposed of.
Remember a few years ago, they had the thing with butter. They said that doesn't say that contains milk.
No, that was Costco. That was just a few months back.
Yeah.
They had to get rid of all that. Now, you got to ask yourself the million-dollar question. First off, let's be clear. Majority of people do not have a milk allergy. They have an allergy to a lot of these milk products that are so heavily homogenized and pasteurized, the body can't process a lot of the lactose. First off, the people that actually do have a true milk allergy, you pretty much have to live unbelievably strict, including the fact that when you pick up a box of pancake mix, you know it has milk in it when it says on the ingredient list that it has milk in it. So, again, this is another thing, exactly what you talked about. These agencies are having to go out now and try to manufacture problems.
I can say this, and I can say this honestly. 95% of everybody in these agencies, including the CDC, they need to be terminated.
Oh, yeah.
They're not necessary. They're simply not necessary.
When it says they're firing 5,200 employees across the board, but there's still another, like, 5 to 10,000 left.
We have state inspection facilities coming into Florida for milk. State. That's all it needs. We don't need a federal oversight like this. We don't need this. If we have enough state regulation already with food products that we don't need to have these bean counters.
No.
Oh, your can of tuna might be opened in a property. So we're calling 10 million cans.
If you break the seal on it, it could contain botulism.
But nobody's had done that. Nobody has done this yet, but we're still recalling all
right.
this. I mean, it's almost you begin to realize that somebody somewhere, someplace is getting paid under the
way
table
too
to recall.
Much money.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. By the way, Ukraine-Russia war debacle may spell the end of the taxpayers' funding, American taxpayers' funding, of European globalist warmongering, I should say, the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, Rothschild banking cartel, warmongering cartels in London and Paris. NATO's super-expensive proxy war against Russia through the Ukraine has finally run its course, ending in total failure. This may result in the obliteration of a post-World War II norms in which USA fights all of Europe's wars. I'm so sick of it. And I'm going to stop for 1 second here. Why in the world do we have to be the police force for the entire planet? Why do we have to spend $1.4 trillion except for beware of the military-industrial complex and what's happened in Congress? Why do we, the American taxpayers, have to foot the bill for all of these other countries that refuse to fight their own conflicts, who are willing to start the conflicts and then turn to the United States and say, you guys got to pay for all this now? You know, I'm sick of it. I think we all are. You know, we've had enough of the fact that somebody holds a gun to our head and says, you're going to pay your taxes and we're going to do whatever the heck we want to do with your money, and there's nothing you can say about it. We've all had enough. That's why everybody's all happy about Doge.
Well, no, more stuff's come out with you said other stuff. Somebody sent me this earlier, and I was going through. It was actually a list of things that basically Doge just released again. You'll love this one. So we are spending $19 million a year on biodiversity conversation in Nepal. I'm not joking. That was a real thing. Social cohesion in Mali for $14 million. $47 million to improve learning outcomes in Asia. This is the one I really like. $2 million to sustainable recycling models to increase socioeconomic cohesion among marginalized communities in Egypt. Please explain that one to me.
Well, you know, the thing that I don't understand, the thing I don't understand is all this stuff goes through the budget.
Correct.
I mean, so somebody's got to stop
this. Here's the problem. When they come out, you not remember when Rand Paul called this out. He voted against that budget last year. They came out with the doggone tray wheel. It was a table with wheels on it. And they rolled it out in Congress. And it was like, 1,200 or 1,800 pages?
More than that.
It was like that tall. That's all paper. We have to vote on it so we can see what's in it. Now you know why they had that attitude.
Now you know what's in it.
They never planned on seeing what was in it because they already knew what was in it. Wow. They already knew this money was getting funneled to all these different things.
These congressmen, you know, start off with zero net worth and end up with hundreds of millions of dollars.
They already knew what was in this budget. That's why they didn't read it. They want to have plausible deniability. We don't know because we didn't get a chance to read it because it's 1,800 pages or whatever it was. And so now we're starting to see the real reason why they played so dumb. And so remember, these people, these banker boys, these people in Congress that are compromised, they're not stupid. They want you to think they're stupid. They want you to think they're naive. They're very smart. They know exactly what the heck they're doing with this right now. But they play the dumb card. Duh, I didn't know. I didn't know we're giving $2 million to sustainable recycling plans in Egypt. Oh, I don't know. $19 million in Nepal. They play dumb so they get away with it. And then that way, all of a sudden, yeah, their net worth was $1.2 million when they got into Congress. They leave and it's $95 million. Like Pelosi.
Well, giving money to the outcome of helping Chinese education.
Yeah, Asian education. Yeah.
When we're ranked number 40th in the world and China's ranked one of the top five.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Let me finish reading this. European leaders are screeching and hollering over what's being left out of Trump's peace talks with Ukraine, despite all the – remember, we're the ones who gave almost all the money.
Yeah, I know.
Despite all of the financial and military assistance from the West, Ukraine has not been able to defeat Russia, and it will never be able to. This is the opinion of the former chairman of NATO Military Committee. The United Air Force General surmised after 3 years of conflict, the Ukrainian army lies in ruins, despite the billions invested in it, the weapons supplied, the training of personnel – an unprecedented assistance from the West. The U.S. alone has invested over $200 billion in a failed effort to deal Russia back a black eye. General Kujat emphasized that Zelensky failed to take advantage of the opportunity to present itself because he was too busy running around using his appendage to play the piano naked. Just thought I'd mention that again. You guys like it when I say that for some reason. General Kujat, he says, but he does. He actually has a video of him doing that. But in reality, it was the U.S. and Europe who failed the war, not Ukraine, which is never Russia's equal on the battlefield and never will be. The general believes a continuation of military action with the aim of finishing off Russia, as proposed by some delusional Western politicians, this, by the way, is simply not true, will clamor for Russia's defeat. Let me stop for 1 second. I'm going to say this again. Putin's bank in Russia is controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. The Rothschild banking cartel is the group that funded the Russian Revolution over 100 years ago and put their central bank into Russia. Russia is controlled by the same Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan bankers that we are here in the United States. Russia never wanted to win the war in Ukraine. This was a proxy war to bring weapons into Ukraine and have them go into the black market. Putin could have won this war within 90 days with a blitzkrieg very easily. He chose not to. He chose just to let all this money get funneled in to all these different places now all over the world with these basically munitions and anti-aircraft things are being placed.
Yep.
The problem with this is now is that we have all of this stuff in the hands of all of these African nations and other third world nations, including Mexican drug cartels.
Including terrorists.
And so out of chaos will come their new world order when all these things – can you imagine right now with all these rocket launchers that have been put out there, these anti-aircraft missiles?
Surface-to-air missiles.
If suddenly you start having one or two airplanes a day dropping out of the sky from being hit with a missile like that, I believe that TWA flight was many years ago.
Yeah,
you can see the trail going up to it, then it explodes.
Yeah.
If suddenly we stop air traffic, the entire planet will be crippled because now you no longer have next day air UPS, next day air FedEx,
you're right.
All of it. Everything changes.
Well, you know, here's a wild thought I just thought about. Remember we talked about how they wanted to get rid of all air traffic. AOC made that statement right before COVID. Then COVID happened, and what happened? All air traffic stopped. People started flying.
For a minute, it did.
The flights in the airline industry has never been the same since COVID, right? How do you know this isn't the next move to try to disable and hamper basically the ability to travel via air? I don't know. I do know one thing, though, too. This war in Ukraine has made the profits of Lockheed Martin and Raytheon enormously high again. Because it wasn't ironic. Almost immediately after we pull out of Afghanistan, the Ukraine conflict escalates and we start funding Ukraine right after we pull out of Afghanistan.
Let me say this again for the banker boys. London and Paris, to a lesser extent Berlin, want to say in how the terms of peace will be drawn between Russia and Ukraine. These countries want equal footing with the U.S., but they want the U.S. to foot the majority of their defense bills. In other words, London and Paris and France and Germany want the United States to protect them. In short, they want to use U.S. military power for their own geopolitical advantage while shouldering only a fraction of the financial burden. With the ascension of the Trump administration, that day is over. Even Ukrainian President Zelensky is prodding the Europeans to step up and put their money where their mouth is. The only thing he has done, as far as with the American military now, and made promises that I have seen, is to Israel with Gaza. Think about that for a second, but we won't go any further than that. Zelensky claims that any kind of army would not represent replacing the NATO alliance if basically the Russians come in with the Americans. And so this is a really interesting source because, I mean, remember, I told you years ago that the thing in Ukraine was not being represented properly as it was being fought, and I still say that. It was primarily a weapons trafficking operation to force weapons down the hands of all of these third world groups.
And wiped out an enormous portion of the original Ukrainian young man population, which has been systemically wiped out, by the way. They've either dispersed and come to the U.S. and gone to Europe, or they're dead.
They had full divisions in Ukraine fighting under Nazi swastikas.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what they had. And they wanted to get rid of that entire group that was there that was still pro-Hitler, pro-World War II, pro-Nazi, pro-everything else. And they've done that. They've destroyed
them. I've seen some of the drone footage that my buddy sent me these new contract work, and they were sending these boys out of the APCs with handheld metal detectors to do sweeps on minefields.
And they were jumping off their doggone.
Jumping off the APC.
And blowing up instantly.
And blowing up right when they jump out. And then basically they drag them in. They send somebody else out. These guys are trying to fight them to not go out of the APC. And I'm sitting there going, why are you sweeping minefields with a handheld metal detector? That is the most antiquated, stupidest thing you can possibly do. We have minesweeping machines for that now. We used them all over Afghanistan, Iraq, but yet we suddenly are using this just to waste bodies. It was a systemic effort. Again, at the same time, I told you, Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, the top five, had made hundreds of billions off this war by simply dumping. So remember, a lot of the munitions they gave Ukraine was old inventory that they had to get rid of regardless.
Expiration dates.
Bomb have expiration dates. Ammo has expiration dates on paper. Now, again, if you store ammo properly. I've shot ammo from World War II before.
I have too.
I've shot World War II ammo. It was boxed, properly kept, and basically kept dry, and it still functions great. However, on paper, these agencies and these military-industrial complexes, they have expiration dates on paper on when it can be deployed and sent out after X amount of years, because they want to make sure when you pull the trigger on a surface-air missile, when you're trying to
shoot,
it goes bang when it goes off. And so they dumped all these old munitions. And now remember, Sig Sauer has a new contract for the new machine gun they're fielding with the new caliber of the 6.8. All that stuff is rolling in over the next couple of years now. So they have to start dumping all this old equipment, all these old weapons, all this old ammunition to make room for the new platforms that are coming in.
Well, the new platforms are not necessary because that old ammo was perfect. The problem is they want to have additional new ammo coming out with new platforms coming out to increase the sales of the military-industrial complex.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. I wasn't going to cover it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Many young women are opting to be sterilized.
What?
Hmm?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Surgical sterilization is on the rise among American women during a global fertility crisis. What are the unintended consequences of this decision? And it's talking about how all these people are being sterilized, and many of them are saying they're doing it because Donald Trump is president.
Well, that's brilliant. That's a great reason to do that.
Well, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, if that's the reason they're sterilizing themselves and they're that stupid, better keep them out of the gene pool anyhow. But the backlash, is largely stemming from politicization of these decisions between husband and wives. According to the research published last month in the journal Health Affairs, the incidence of both tubal ligation and vasectomy is massively increased in the United States. Our study shows that Dobbs' decision had a profound effect on young adults' reproductive choices, and many young women now and many young men are being sterilized. However, the risk of regret. Historically, insurers have denied claims of any procedure not deemed medically necessary, but now they're paying for a lot of these procedures. As younger women seek sterilization, another question that is raised is informed consent. A lot of these women are in their early 20s, and they really haven't really gone through concrete rational thought yet. This reminds me so much of what's happened with these young children that are choosing to become transgenders.
Yep.
Okay, and so these women now, because of all the stuff that's been promoted through this transgender ideology, and because of all these issues from a political standpoint, and because of cultural Marxism, they've decided they're not going to let that horrible guy get them pregnant, and they don't want to have any horrible children in a misogynistic world. I mean, this is so screwed up when I read this. I posted it. You guys could read it online. It's mind-boggling. In fact, I'll post it again.
It's all mind control and psychological warfare. Once you really grasp that concept and you understand how effective psychological warfare is in an battlefield scenario, and you realize that they continue to take this as a war with the population of the
United States.
But a lot of people are just too dumb to realize we're in the middle of a war. We have been for years. It may not be a hot war. We're shooting in the front lines of the United States yet, but we're in a cultural war. They've been doing this for years and years and years.
And Elon Musk now is uncovering how this was funded.
Yes. That's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he did in the past, a lot of stuff he still does, and I don't agree with everything on it. But I have been yelling yelling from the studio room and everywhere we go about questioning what the heck has been going on with our financial issues in the United States, especially just in the last 4 years. But you go back all the way to Obama, it's even weirder.
A lot of it was the COVID stimulus of $7 trillion.
That covered a lot of it up. Well, when you start having that first year, I mean, almost $10 trillion and another $5 or $6 trillion, and now we start finding out the amount of – when you start talking about a billion and then $1 trillion, I've told you guys before, it's really hard to spend that much money. It really is. That's a lot of money to liquidate, and then you start realizing where this money was actually going.
People are buying all those cars at premiums, and now they're stuck in the doggone – they're all upside down in the cars.
Yes, but I've seen that now. A lot of the guys I know at truck dealerships, I mean, there was just a time a few years ago that they were trying to get 10, 20, 30,000 over sticker for a pickup truck. And I told everybody, I said, do not buy those, bro. And the banks were financing 125% over. So if a vehicle is worth $100,000, they were giving loans for $125,000 MSRP on the vehicle.
Now these banks are hurting now because of
that.
Oh,
yeah, the banks are having record.
Because what's happened is these loans are no longer secured.
No. A lot of people defaulting on them.
Because what's happened is that car's worth $60,000, you owe $100,000 on it right now. You got a $40,000 unsecured loan.
They're just turning and filing bankruptcy.
And what they're turning and filing bankruptcy, or they're getting deficiency liens filed against them.
And those are nightmares. Those don't make money. I mean, trying to get those, I mean, trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip doesn't really work.
And remember, we warned you guys when all this was going on 4 or 5 years ago. We said, please, please don't pay addendums for cars.
No.
Don't do it. Because I've got too many friends of mine that have gotten burned with this now. I told you the story of that one lady that I knew. She owed $80,000 on this like Lincoln Navigator, and it was only worth $35,000. I mean, what a mess. And she had already filed bankruptcy a few years earlier, so she couldn't get out of it. I mean, so it's just going to be – and then now they'll go in and they'll start garnishing her wages.
Yep.
I mean, people make really bad choices or really bad decisions when it comes to finances in many cases that affect them the rest of their lives.
Yep.
I've seen it repeatedly.
Yep.
And a lot of those people, they'll file bankruptcy and they'll turn right around like she did and do it all over again.
Yeah.
But the second time, she got her mother to co-sign the note. Oh, now her mom would have to file bankruptcy.
Be very, very cautious. I learned a long time ago. Be very cautious co-signing with anybody, quite frankly.
The Bible says don't do it. It says your very bed will be snatched out underneath
you. It's just not a good idea to basically put your assets and your net worth on the line to help somebody else with something.
There's a reason their credit's messed up.
You'd be better off. I'll tell you this. You'd be better off if it was a family member, somebody you were trying to support, to just give them money to put down extra and keep it under their name. You'd be better off doing that instead of tying up your credit.
Let me give you a little heads up on this. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, good friend.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love the guy's brother. And I co-signed a note for him for a car.
Yep.
Okay, which I've only done like once in my entire life.
Yep.
And with him. And I knew that he had the money to pay for it, but he wanted to restore his credit.
Yeah.
And they told me they called me up 9 weeks later and they said, we're going to unwrap this deal. Ford Motor Credit won't buy it.
Yeah.
And I said, I've co-signed it. And they said, well, you understand what you've done. Even in the event that he doesn't pay for the car and you pay for it, the title still stays in his name and you don't get the car. Yeah. It belongs to him. And I said, well, he would never do that to me. He's a great friend, and he never did. He paid it off.
Yep.
But that's the point is when you co-sign something, you are co-signing it. You will pay it off for that person, and you will never own it.
All risk. You take all risk with no reward on it.
No, you're going to pay for the vehicle, and you're not going to get the vehicle in the
end. That's why I said you'd be better off giving that family member a few $1,000s for a down payment and letting them buy it in their name and getting approved on it, and putting your name on it.
And I don't recommend this at all, but you'd be better off. But I don't recommend this. For you to finance the vehicle and put it in your name and let them drive it. But then you got to deal with liability exposure. Yep. That's why I don't recommend it. Because if they want to go out and drive drunk one night, guess who's on the hook for that?
That's you. So again, my friends, keep your heads up. Keep your mind strong.
And keep your liver clean.
Keep your liver clean. GHI Cleanse if you need it. Always on sale with the 3-pack special. We just put together the GHI Cleanse. A lot of people take advantage of that. And the Fit Food Protein, our Fit Food New Zealand Whey. On sale right now for product of the week. Be sure to check that out. $52.78, buy less cheaper than a 3-pack special. I did that on purpose for y'all. So you can try one can if you want, or buy a bunch of cans if you want, either which way.
I got to pray for you guys at the altar yesterday at church. Really love you guys. Really appreciate you guys. You guys mean the world to me. You guys are family. If you need anything, email us. Let us know what you need. We'll do the best we can to help you. And I appreciate every single one of you. And thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support.
Talk to you guys on this show again tomorrow as always.